Fifth test today. And this is obviously a very difficult sif, both when I said figuring out what's going on here, the obligation to remove scabs and blemishes and the like. So the Rush writes that any types of scabs that are within 3 days, less than 3 days old, don't create a chatzitza. This is based, of course, on the Gemara that we discussed last time, and she could be tovelas. But from 3 days onwards, they are chotzeitz, unless she washes in water, she softens them in water, and then it's okay. And that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. We'll talk about in a couple minutes why softening them in water helps. What's that meant to accomplish? That's the view of the Rush and the Shulchan Aruch. The Ri, who's quoted by the Sefer Tuma, the Smag, the Mardechai, says that Toch Shlosha Yamim, they're not chotzeitz. Mikan va'elach, they're chotzeitz. And therefore, if she wants to be toveles, there's a minhag to take off these scabs. But even though taking off the scabs will be painful, and even though she's not makpedes. But when you look at the way it's quoted, it sounds like mikar hadin, you don't need to. In other words, the formulation is that the minhag is to take off scabs. But mikar hadin, you don't need to. Why? Karui eno makbid. Right? It's lashon is there. Karui eno makbid, mikol makom regilos lahasir akol. So there's this regilos, there's this minhag to remove the scabs, but be'etim, you don't have to remove the scabs because they're not makbid. In other words, the opinion of the Ri, or it's sometimes called the opinion of the Mordechai, or the Sefer Tuma, this opinion is, in a sense, both more machmir and more makel than the Rush. It's more makel because mikar hadin, after 3 days, they're not chotzeitz. And he doesn't say that there's a requirement to soften them, like the Rush says. At the same time, he quotes this practice of being machmir, of removing them. The Rush doesn't say you ever have to remove them. All the Rush says you have to do is soften them. The smak is also makel. He says there's no, like the Ri, there's no isser of being tovelus with these chatat and shevirosh and the like. So here we have a machlokas. We'll just focus on the two opinions. The opinion of the Rush, and we'll call the opinion of the Mordechai. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Dam yave shalamaka chotzeitz v'rir shebetocha eino chotzeitz, yatza rir mitocha, so then kol shosha yamim lachu v'eino chotzeitz, lacha mikan yave shuva chotzeitz, lefikach isha bailas chatatim tzricha lachov b'mayim ad shisrachachu. So he passes like the Rush. And therefore, she must soften them in water. And the mashmaus of the Shulchan Aruch is that if you don't do that, then what's the halacha? They're chotzeitz. Now, the question is, why is the Mordechai Mekel? Why does he say that mikar hadin is kosher even without being merachich them? So, l'chora, the answer is very simple, that this is considered not makbid. Why? Because I don't want to remove them. Why don't I want to remove them? Because it will cause me a lot of pain to remove these scabs. So what is the debate about? It sounds like it's a very fundamental debate as to how you define makbid. We already made some diukim about this earlier, Shiurim and Rashi and the like. The way the Mordechai seems to define makbid is anything that you're makbid to remove is a chatzitza. So if you're not makbid to remove the scab, it's not a chatzitza, and since it would cause me pain to remove it, I'm not makbid, it's not a chatzitza. What does the Rush hold? The Rush says, no, I don't want it here, right? This scab really annoys me. I wish it would have disappeared. True, I'm not going to practically remove it because it would cause me pain, but I don't want it here. So therefore, the Rush seems to say, anything I don't want here is a chatzitza, and therefore these scabs are a chatzitza. I have no choice but to be merachich them. The Mordechai says, mikar hadin, since I don't want to remove it because of the pain, it's not chotzeitz. Still, there's a minhag to remove it. That seems to be the machlokas over here. In which case, since the Mechaber paskins like the Rush, and Lechora the Ramah doesn't say anything, so the Ramah presumably agrees, then the Ramah and the Mechaber are both Machmir. They both hold that anything that you don't want, even if you're not Makbid La'asiro, but anything you don't want is considered a Chatzitza. Now, there might be some exceptions. The Darkei Moshe Os Dalid quotes a Rokeach that if you have lice that are clinging to your hair and you can't get them out, Nidbakim V'chozek B'basar. So he says, if you could try to get them out, you must. Tzarech La'asiran Al Yedei Chamin U'Legoriran V'tziporen L'mata. So you do whatever you can. But if you can't, you've done all you can, but they're stuck on, so then that's considered eno makbid, and they're not chotzeitz. So essentially, perhaps there would be an exception with respect to something that can't be removed. But anything that could be removed is a chatzitza if you don't want it here. And therefore, again, the Shulchan Aruch paskens like the Rush that the only solution is to soften it. Now, this would seem to contradict the ruling of the Shulchan Aruch in Or HaChaim. In Or HaChaim, it sounds like he adopts a lenient view. And anything that you don't want to remove, because let's say it's going to cause you pain to remove it, is not chotzeitz. It says over there, in Simen Kuf Samach Aleph Sif Beis, Gildei Maka She'al Yadav, Im Eino Makbid Alav, Einan Chotzitzin. And the source for that is the Sefer Truma that we mentioned just a minute ago. And the Magen Avraham explains, V'mitzdar b'netilatzan einan chotzeitz, quoting the smak that we said earlier. The Mishnah Berurah accepts this as well. Imeinu makbid, the Mishnah Berurah writes, if katan tazayin over there, lasiro me'al yadav, mipneishu mitzdar b'netilatzan, then you don't have to remove it. So in Shulchan Aruch Or HaChaim, we seem to follow the lenient view of the Sefer Truma, of the Mordechai, the smak, whereas in Yoredeya Chosnida, we appear to follow the stringent view. Now, it could be that this is a Chumran HaChosnida, meaning to say that Tilchos Netil Yadayim, the stakes are much lower, we're more Mako, Nida, we're more Machmir. If you look at the base Yosef on our Simen, it doesn't seem like he sees this as a machlokas. I don't know exactly how to explain that. But he presents the views almost in a way that he doesn't see that there's a machlokas between the Sefer Truma and the Rush and the like. But the Pashtus is, when you do look at the Makoros, that there does seem to be this very fundamental machlokas about how to define makbid. Yeah?
You could say that they're arguing if you have a minhag to remove things that are not tzitzos, like we said, that the minhag of Ashkenaz versus...
I don't understand, but the Mordechai says it's not chotzeitz, right? Mikra din.
Because it's just a
minhag. It's not, but Lamaisa, it's not chotzeitz. And the Rush seems to say it is chotzeitz, and that's why you have to be merachich them. So it is a machlokas.
I mean, the question could just be what the minhag is by these.
There's nothing to do with minhag. I'm asking you, what's the ikar adin? According to the Rush, the ikar adin is you have to be merachich, right? Because it is a chatzitza. And according to the Mordechai, there's a minhag to remove it, but it's not chotzeitz ikar adin.
The Rush, he's just telling you what you should do.
It sounds that way.
Maybe that's the minhag that we do.
It doesn't. So it's very difficult to read it that way. It doesn't sound like it's just a minhag, right? And the Shulchan Aruch and is presenting this halacha over here. It doesn't sound like it's a minhag to be merachich it. It sounds like it's mikaradin. When the Sefer Truma, when the Mordechai, when all those present the minhag, so they tell you what the ikaradin is, and then they tell you what the minhag is. The Rush, your suggestion that the Rush is telling you a minhag when he says the minhag is to be merachich them. So that, he doesn't say anywhere that's just a minhag. Sounds like it's mikaradin, you have to merachich them, meaning say, it would be chatzitza if you're not merachich them.
Second suggestion, the Rush holds the shitaso, that he's arguing on the Ravid, that these things, if the chotzes for Rashi and scabs on top of a maka are chotzes because he doesn't have the girsa.
One way or the other, It's a stira in Shulchan Aruch, right?
Well, we had that stira already, so it's not in the stira.
Okay, maybe.
Is it within the shita of being kosher? Maybe.
Can sein. I don't think it sounds that way, but maybe. The Taz over here, I think Sif Katan Yadalid, quotes the minhag to remove the scabs, even if she's mitzdares. In other words, even though the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah don't quote that minhag, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah just say you should be merachich them. The minhag of the Mordechai of removing them if it causes pain is quoted by the Taz. He might not think that you have to do that. It might just be mitzav minhag. It's not so clear what the Taz thinks, but that minhag at the very least is quoted by the Taz. Lemaisa, what should you do if you have a scab and removing the scab would cause pain? So I think the recommendation is not to follow this minhag quoted by the Beis Yosef and quoted by the Taz and the like. And we assume generally that if it would cause a lot of pain to remove, you certainly should not remove it. And rather what you should do is you should follow what the Shulchan Aruch says is to be merachichet. And one could argue that this would work l'kulei alma because it would work according to the Rush. And perhaps it would even work according to the Mordechai. The Mordechai doesn't even think that you need to do anything at all, Nikar Adin. So being Merachich, it certainly is not going to hurt. Now, the Sidrei Tara asks a very interesting question, which is, why is this different than Ritia? We're going to get to that shortly. But Ritia Shal Hamaka, where we say you have to remove it, presumably, even if it's going to cause a lot of pain. When it comes to a bandage on your body, let's assume within the opinion, especially of the Mardechai, right, the lenient view, that anything that's going to cause pain is not a chatzitza. Why? Because practically speaking, you're not makbid lasiro. Why aren't you makbid lasiro? You're not makbid lasiro because it's going to be very painful to remove, right? So when it comes to a scab, we're makel, if it's going to be painful to remove, we say it's not a chatzitza, you're not makbid. When it comes to a bandage, we say it is a chatzitza. And when it comes to a chetz, for example, that's sticking out of your body, we say, even if it's going to cause you a lot of pain to remove the chetz, you have to remove it, right? So what's the difference? Why is a scab more kal? So Dovi answered that the solution is that one is part of your body and one is not part of your body. So that's exactly what the Sidrei Tara answers. But the question is, why should it make a difference? In other words, if the lamdas is that it's not considered makbid because I don't want to practically remove it. It's true, I don't want to remove it due to the pain, but lamaisa, I don't want to remove it. If that's the reason why it's not chotzeitz, so then why would you say it's different when it comes to the bandage? So that's what remains unclear. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav answers, the pshat is very simple, that when it comes to the bandage, and we're going to talk more about bandages in just a moment, but when it comes to bandages, the reason why I have to remove bandages is not because right now I'm makbid, but it's based off of the rivet, because in a couple of days, I'm going to want to remove this bandage. And therefore, we know that the Ravid says, again, we're going to discuss this in detail in just a couple minutes, but the Ravid says that if right now, b'shas tefila, I'm not makbid, but I'm going to be makbid about it at some point in the near future, that's a chatzitza. So therefore, the bandage, I'm going to remove. So you'll say, well, what about the same thing with the scab? In 3 days from now, when it doesn't hurt anymore, I'm going to pick off the scab, right? So we should say the same thing. So his answer is no. That's not the same scab as it is now. In other words, the body is changing. This scab, the way things are now, I will never be makbid. I will never want to remove this scab because removal of this scab will always cause me pain. So I'm never going to want to remove this scab, no matter what. Even if I was going to a wedding tonight, I would not want to remove this scab because this scab is very painful. Ah! So therefore, the rivet is irrelevant. Masha'im Kane, in the case of a bandage, so I'm going to want to remove this bandage in 3 days. Why? Because you know, my wound will have healed. So that's the difference. That's what he says, why Mikar Adin, at least according to Mordechai, the Sefer Turim and the like, a scab doesn't have to be removed while a Band-Aid does have to be removed. Because this scab will, I'm never going to be makbid on this scab. That's how the Shulchan Aruch Rab explains it. Again, Halach Lamaisa, the Shevet Alevi says that you should not peel off any scabs whereby if you do peel them off, it's going to start bleeding or pussing or the like. Your Yatzaschar V'Asedo, right? If you peel off the scab, so then you're going to have new chatzitza issues. It's true, I guess technically that's lach or the like, but really we don't want that either. And therefore you should not remove it. On the other hand, if removing it will not cause you any type of pain or the like, so then you should remove it. So if removing it, he doesn't go this far, but I think this is the way we paskin. This is the way Rabbi Forrest paskins, I think, that if it could be removed painlessly, then you should remove it in light of the minhag quoted by the Beis Yosef and the Taz and the like. But if not, if it's going to cause pain, so then you should simply do richoch, you should soak it. Anyway, she's sitting in the bath for a while, so it's going to get soaked anyway. And to soak it, it's going to get soft. And you'll follow the psak of the Shulchan Aruch and the Rosh. And like we said, that really is going to work anyway, Mikra Adin Kavachomer, for the Mordechai. Now, why does richoch help? So this is actually another interesting question. The Sidrei Torah says that richoch helps because it makes it as though it's toch gimel yamim. Remember, any wound, toch gimel yamim, is not chotetz, because of its softness. And the soaking it makes it soft again, it rejuvenates it, and therefore it's like it's toch gimel yamim. The Chazon Ish, Tzadi Dalet Dalet, gives a slightly different explanation. He says that the purpose of soaking it is to clean out the blood and the pus that would be chotetz, and whatever is left isn't chotetz. In other words, in a scab could be like lots of dirt and dried out blood, things that you don't need to be the scab. The scab itself is like a bandage. It's part of the healing, but it also might be dirty, right? A wound could be dirty. And the dirt, like some of the dried out blood, is potentially a chatzitza. So that's what he says the purpose of richoch is actually to clean it. The Aruch HaShulchan says a similar type of thing. He thinks that the Mechaber wasn't machmir about scabs, only about dried up blood and pus. In other words, sounds like from the Aruch HaShulchan, if you properly cleaned the wound, you wouldn't have a problem. It's only when you don't. Anyway, that take a look. The Mechaber, he has a slightly different malich, but that's the point. There is a interesting thing that comes up here, but we're not going to talk about it because we did in Kuf Tzadi Hei already, but the issue of looking at Mekomos HaMechusim Letzarach Tvila, right? The poor wife of the Marach or Zerua, she was like a teenager and she had acne and he wouldn't let her go to the mikvah without looking at her, and so the question is that mutter? And the discussion, well, maybe he looked at her afterwards, the Hagav, the son of the Note of Yehuda, and Ayin Sham. Obviously, we don't recommend that practice, as we've said, but that's where this discussion comes up in the Rishonim, as to whether it's ever possible to look at Mekomos HaMechusim so as to facilitate Tvila. Do you say that, well, since, like, you know, she's going to be mutashed in a couple of minutes, you won't do Isser, and therefore it's Mutter, or no, maybe it's a low plug, or maybe anyway it doesn't help, because maybe you'll discover a scab, and she's not going to want to remove it, and then she's not going to be tovelis. And would it help to look afterwards and the like? So again, we discussed it already. We're not going to go back to that. Sif Yud. So the makor for this halacha, that a retia al gabi hamakas chotzeitz, is a mishnah in Mikvos, Perek Tes, Mishnah Beis. Retia, by the way, means plaster, I think. The Perushim Mishnayah says it's like the dressing on the wound. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us that a retia on a maka is chotzitz. And this seems to be very problematic. We already alluded to this question, but now we can elaborate upon the question, which is why should it be chotzitz? L'chora, it's miut ve'eino makbid. It's mi veino makbid. Why? Because I want this bandage to be here. Why do I want this bandage to be here? Because I want my wound to get better. And if I take off the bandage, it's going to get worse. So I'm not makbid. So now, the question is, why is this true? So, I sent you to a tshuva, the Ksav Sofer, a very beautiful tshuva, who deals with this question at length. The particular shaila he was dealing with was Isha Achas Rosha Koev La V'yitzav Ala Rofe Laniach La Retia V'techboshes Altsta'eha U'mifshad HaRetia Lihidabek B'makom HaNachaso K'mishlosh Yerachim. So the doctor says that this bandage must be worn for 3 months. And no matter what, for 3 months, you can't remove the bandage. Chok v'lo yavor. And if you try to, it's going to get all messed up and hurt a lot. And afterwards, it's going to fall off on its own. Okay, interesting bandage. Self-removing bandage is good, because, like, you know, taking off the bandage is always the scariest part. So this one's going to fall off. Anyway, that was the shaila.
Dissolving stitches, everything?
Well, yeah, we'll talk about dissolving stitches in just a couple minutes. But I don't know why. I don't know why it falls off, but that doesn't really matter, concern us at present. The point is that this woman had a bandage that she had to wear for 3 months, and she may not take it off for 3 months. So does that mean she can't go to the mikveh for 3 months? Right? When you read the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like she can't. Sounds like she can't go to the mikveh for 3 months. And the question is why? Why don't we say she's not makbid for the next 3 months? No matter where she goes, no matter what she does, she's going to want to wear this bandage. She doesn't want to take it off. It's going to cause her great harm. So that should be eino makbid. So maybe you'll tell me the Ravid, but certainly if you hold it to Zichron Yosef's understanding of the Ravid, so this should be okay, because under no circumstances for the next 3 months is she going to want this removed. So why is it a chatzitza? So actually he thinks it's not going to be a chatzitza. And he has a number of tzadim lahakel, going through the Rishonim and the like. After all, why would you say that refuah is a chatzitza? And his theory is like this. His theory is that the type of bandage that the Mishnah, that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about, is a situation where you sometimes take it off. You take it off to see how it's doing. You take it off because you're curious how it looks like. Right, you take it off to see if it's getting infected or smelly or whatever, it needs to be removed or the like. We're talking about the type of bandage that sometimes comes off to check. But if you have this type of bandage where no matter what, for the next 3 months, it's not going to be removed, so then it shouldn't be a chatzitza. That's not what the Shulchan Aruch or the Mishnah is talking about. And he brings a proof from the smock that we just quoted in the previous siman that we've been discussing, that mikaradin, she doesn't have to remove the scabs. Right? Mikaradin, you don't have to remove the scabs. And lamaisa, if it's going to cause her a lot of pain to remove the scabs, then they need not be removed. So you see that even though, in theory, she would rather this not be here, but still, since Lamaisa, she's not Makpedes Lasira, it's going to be Mutter. Now then he says, but 1 second, what about Chaitz? So the Sidrei Tara asked this question. The Sidrei Tara asks, Demeha de Chaitz Tachov, Muchach, de Loka Mordechai Vesmak Vesefer Atruma, de Cholshim Itzdar Eina Ochotzeitz. We know the halacha is, if the chetz is sticking out of her skin, right? Just imagine that. It's pretty nasty matziv, right? It's an arrow sticking. It's like a Purim costume, right? But, right, so she's walking around with the chetz sticking out. So, why isn't she taking out this chetz? Because it's going to really, really hurt to take it out, right? So she's going to leave it in. So according to the Sefer Truma and the smak, it shouldn't be chotetz. And yet, the halacha is, it is chotetz. So that's the Sidrei Taharas Kasha. So what does he answer? V'kasav, shelo yiyu neged mishna rucha al-karchach tzarech lomar l'chalek bein davar yote min aguf uvein davar acher ha-chotetz. The answer that we just said, this was Dovi's answer, we mentioned it in the last sif, that chetz is different because what? Because it's not part of the body, not like the scab. Well, if that's true, then we're stuck with the bandages, right? In other words, if Dovi's answer is right, Sidrei Taharas answer is right, then the bandages were stuck. But says the Ksav Sofer, that you see that the Sidrei Taharas himself thought this was a very dochak answer. It's a dochak chiluk. Lamais, if she's not makpedis, it shouldn't be chotetz. The Sidrei Taharas said it because otherwise it's going against the Shulchan Aruch. But the Sidrei Taharas himself acknowledged it's a shver answer, so if we could come up with a better chiluk, then we will. So what's the better chiluk? The chiluk that I just said. Lo kashamidi, the v'chetza tachov demachiv kolzman shetachov be'adam ulefamim kshelo yotziu yavo lidei choli v'sakana v'lachen agam sheotza bevadei machiv tuva v'efshar biyoser mima shemachiv l'sha'a kolzman shetachov ba'u mikol mako makbed lotziu bekev yisurin gedolim shelo yichav lo tamid. Answer is, you're not going to leave this chetz in here forever and walk around with an arrow sticking out from your back. It's not true. Even though taking out the arrow causes a lot of pain, but leaving it in also has its dangers. It could get infected. It could cause more pain. You know, it's like the short-term pain of removal versus the long-term lesser pain of leaving it in. So a person will likely want to remove it. Okay. Maybe right now when she's going to the mikveh, she's not yet ready to remove it, right? She's sort of building up the courage to pull it out because she knows it's going to hurt a ton. But this is not going to be something that she's going to leave in here forever. She's going to remove it at some point. She's just waiting to build up the courage. In that case, that's why it's chotzeitz. It's nothing to do with be'etzem being part of the body versus not part of the body. That's irrelevant. And therefore, in the case of the scab, if lamaisa, I'm not going to pull it off because it causes me a lot of pain, so then it's not chotetz, mikar adin. And likewise, he says, for the bandage, it's going to depend. What type of bandage is it? If it's a type of bandage that you sometimes take off to change, to look at, to add more antibiotics, because you're curious, whatever it is, if we're talking about a type of bandage that you sometimes check, you sometimes don't check, then that will be a chatzitza indeed. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about. That's going to be like the case of the chetz. But if we're talking about a bandage that you're never going to remove, at least for some defined period of time, like in this case, 3 months, so then that's going to be more like the scab, the painful scab, where we say mikar adin, it's not a chatzitza, because you're not makbid. That's basically his theory, and he's myrich in this. Now, he notes that it's against the lavush. Why? Because the lavush says the only time you could ever be mako is if you're going to leave it there forever. Where's the lavush coming from? So in a certain sense, this goes back to the machlokas between the Mordechai and the Rush. If you understand the machlokas between the Mordechai and the Rush as being fundamental, and that the Rush holds that scabs are a chatzitza after 3 days, even though it causes a lot of pain, it's just you could solve the problem through richuch, so then you'd have to be machmir for ritia, right? Because you don't want it here. And don't tell me it's eno makbid. It is makbid. I want this gone. I'm not going to practically do it. Whereas the Ksav Sofer is essentially trying to argue, and that's the view of the Lavush, and those who we'll see in a moment who disagree with the Ksav Sofer. Those, Achronim, maybe Rishonim, all hold that Lamaisa Chatzitza is defined as something I don't want here. And while we might make some exceptions, in the case of Sakana we'll see, or in the case of Yefshar Lahasiro, like those Kinim that you can't get out, fundamentally, if it could be removed, even if the removal is associated with a lot of pain, it is a chatzitza, and it either has to be removed or softened or the like. And therefore, according to that reading, the Shulchan Aruch is kipshuto. All bandages, or almost all bandages, are always going to be a chatzitza, and this poor lady couldn't go to the mikveh for 3 months. But he says, I think you could be mekel. The opinion of the Mordechai makes more sense. Don't ask me a kash from chetz, because chetz is different. You're going to want to remove it. The only time bandages are a problem is when you're going to occasionally check. And otherwise, it is mutter.
Are you saying to pass the Mordechai over the Mechaber?
Well, he tries to argue. So first of all, we have Mordechai. He tries to argue that maybe even the Mechaber here isn't disagreeing with it, and the like. But yes. So what is his bottom line? So he writes, having going through this whole tshuva, so I think you could be mekel for trei tami. Number one, to kol shu mishum refua v'nason al makomo l'zman katsuv, as long as it's for refua and it's on your skin for a defined period of time, when it can't be removed before then, so then it's not a chatzitza. That's not makbid. Makbid means you want to take it off. And here you don't want to take it off. And number two, Kevan sheyef shel asir achshav rak al yedei kev gadol meruba v'nomar li kimat yef shel asiro rak sheyidbak v'yitlosh min ha'or. If you tried to pull off the bandage now, it would pull off the skin off its place. So the smak, the Mordechai Sefer Tumah, all say it's mutter. That's basically what he would say. And he's mekel, except then he says, but then I decided to look at my svarim shank. Kasher binosi besvarim me'at. And what did I find? He says, I looked at my shelf of svarim, and I found the tshuva me'av, the Zichron Yosef, and that's support for me, right? Because what did the Zichron Yosef say? As long as there's a defined period of time that I'm not going to remove it, it's going to be okay. But then I looked further, chipasti od be'argaz svarim shali, uvali yadi sefer tshuva me'ava. The problem is that the Tshuva Me'ava was more or less asked the same question, and he's machmir. Ulios ki kvar horu zekenim elu, he quotes others who agreed to him, lahachmir benidon shalanu mamish, hagam she'eni tanu yediya alma adne, still, I don't know why their psak makes sense. I think my psak makes sense, but I'm not willing to be mekel. Chasli lahakel b'harash achmiru bo ga'one kamoi b'dor shalafaneinu kadoshim. Ay. So Lamaisa, it's hard to know whether he's really coming out lahakel or lahachmir. He thinks it should be mutter, but he's hesitant to paskin against those ga'onim that are machmir, though he doesn't think their position makes sense. Again, according to our analysis, it would make sense to possibly be machmir according to the Rush. Certainly the Levush is machmir, because the Levush understands that anytime you're ever going to be machmir to remove it, it's aser, right? Again, how do you explain the Levush? The Levush, Pashtus means, is the way that Tzemach Tzedek explains the Levush. The Levush means that since after it heals, I'm going to want to remove this, so Lamais, I want to remove it. The easiest way to understand the Levush and the Machmir view is based off of the idea of the Ravid not understood by the Zichron Yosef, right? In other words, to understand the Ravid Kipshuto, anytime I'm going to want something off, that's a Chatzitza. So I'm going to want this off. When? 3 months. But still, Lamais, I'm going to want it off. Now, it's not obvious, even if you didn't accept the Zichron Yosef, you don't know that the Ravid would agree to this, because maybe the Ravid is only in this situation in 3 months from now, I also won't want to remove it. The reason why I'm going to be machmir in 3 months from now is because my wound is healed, right? But the Levush, apparently, is not machalik. But again, it's hard to understand that version of the Ravid, like Rav Moshe asks and alike. So basically, possibility one to be machmir is the simple reading of the Rush. Possibility two is a Levush, who doesn't seem to understand the Ravid like the Zichron Yosef. He understands the Ravid as saying, any time in the future, if I'm going to be machmir about this, that's considered being machmir now, and I must remove it, even if the situation is different. Okay, so those are the tzadim lahachmir. And then the third tzad lahachmir is the chachmas adam, and explained in the binas adam. We're going to talk more about this chachmas adam later. He has a famous tshuva, in which basically he says that the fillings are a chatzitza. Now, if we accept that this chachmas adam kipshuto, we're in a lot of trouble, because almost all married women have fillings. I've been told that in Hasidic circles, it's like a mila to find a girl without any fillings. But I don't know what happens like after she gets married. Make sure she has good teeth. Before you go out with someone, send them to the dentist. So obviously we don't pask in this way. And fillings are not a chatzitza, but the Binas Adam says they are. Now we'll see when we get to this a little later. Rav Moshe tries to argue that even the Chachmas Adam would be makel for our fillings. His fillings were like not great fillings. They were fillings that like they still hurt, and like they never really solved the problem. They were made out of wax and lead and who knows what. And our fillings were like you put the filling in and then that's like your tooth and you don't ever think about it again. You don't even know if you have a filling in that teeth or not until you go and look at your x-rays at the dentist. So nobody would think, even the Binas Adam, the Chachmas Adam would agree to our fillings. We're going to get to that a little later. But Lamaisa, in his discussions about fillings, this is, if you want, it's in Shar Beis Hanashim, Simen Yud Beis, Os Chaf Aleph. So in his discussion of fillings, he says like this. Venerally, Deha dekasav ashach, sifkan yadalid, kocheles lerefua chotetz, vim bishvil shetira einaha porchos ein chotetz. We know that kocheles, whatever that is exactly, some type of eye makeup slash refua medicine. So the shach says that, what's the halacha? If you do it for purposes of noi, then it's not chotetz. You're not makpid. But if you're doing it for refuah, it is chotetz. What does the shach say? Klalahu de lenoi o shemalachto bekach afilu yesh bo mamish enu chotetz aval mashu lerefuah kimo retia umarkalin. Those are the dreadlocks we talked about before from the shadim. Shekol zev vadai makpedes. So how does at the very least, the Chachmas Adam understand the Shach, right? The way we explain the Rash. Anything that you would rather not be here is a Chatzitza, even though you're not going to take it off. And that's why anything for Refuah is Chatzitza, right? So that explains Ritia. That explains Ritia, right? And that's why he thinks that even fillings are going to be a problem. Why? Because fillings are refuah. And the only time the Chachmas Adam is willing to be makel is when it's sakana. Why does sakana change anything? Because then sakana becomes what? Revise. Right? Like the case of the Merkelin, the dreadlocks. So that becomes part of your body. It's revise. It's not chotetz. But anytime it's not a sakana to remove, then since you wish this disappeared, you wish this wasn't here, you're makbid, then it's chotzeitz. So again, we have a couple of reasons to be machmir. One is perhaps this is the understanding of the Rosh and the Shach, the Chachmas Adam, is that since I don't want this here, it's chotzeitz, I'm makbid, I don't like it here. The second reason is the Levush / Rivid, that since I'm going to be makbid to remove it in a couple months, then that's considered a chotzeitz now. The Tzad Lahakel is the Ksav Sofer. That understanding of the Ravid and the Levush doesn't make any sense. It's true, I'm going to be Makbid in 3 months, but I'm not Makbid now. So right now, it's Miyat Veno Makbid. It shouldn't be a Chatzitza. And what about the Chachmas Adam? That too doesn't make any sense. Because Lamaisa, since I'm not going to remove it, and the Rishonim always stress with respect to Chatzitza that if Chatzitza means you're makbid lasiro. If I'm not makbid lasiro, it should be okay. What about the halacha in Shulchan Aruch that retia is a chatzitza? That's talking about something that you check. What about the halacha that chetz, when sticking out, is a chatzitza? That's something that you're planning to remove any moment. You're afraid of infection. But otherwise, a bandage that can't be removed is not a chatitza. So lemaisa, what's going to be the halacha with a cast? Right, that's where this question comes up most frequently. What's the halacha by a cast? So if you look at Rabbi Kiva Eger, sounds like he's makel, only if there's a sakana to remove it. But if it's just a matter of pain, then you have to remove it. This is the opinion of many poskim. And as we saw, the Ksav Sofer disagrees. Anything that's refuah and is going to cause a lot of pain to remove, and you're not going to remove at all now, is mutter. The Tzitz Eliezer is makel, like the Ksav Sofer. Rabbi Forst says, this is a serious question, you have to ask a Rav. Other poskim are makel, Rav Avadia is makel. Rav Moshe seems to be machmir, like we said, the Chachmas Adam seems to be machmir. Now, a lot of times anyway, with casts, the question is moot. Because if you have a plaster cast, like the more old-fashioned types of cast, if you put it in the water, it's going to start falling apart and turning to mush. Even if you held like the Ksav Sofer, you're going to be stuck. And Elamai, you're going to put a plastic bag around it, so then that's the bag is going to make a chatzitza, right? There's no way you're going to be able to cover the cast but not create some type of additional chatzitza. And you're definitely makpid about the plastic bag, right? So you're a little, you know, that might work for taking a shower, but it's not going to work for the mikvah. But nowadays, many of the casts are fiberglass, and you could actually go into the mikvah, and they're waterproof. They're not waterproof. Water doesn't ruin them. So then, if we followed the Ksav Sofer, we could be makel. It happens to be that sometimes, this is an Eitzah, not always, but sometimes you have the Eitzah, which would work perhaps for more shitos, which is soaking it. Meaning to say that the way most casts are made nowadays is they sort of wrap your hand with like a bad fabric bandage, and then they take the fiberglass and they wrap it around, and then it hardens. So if you soak it in water for a while, then it actually will be saturated entirely with water, and then it would be okay, perhaps even according to the Machmirim. Right? Certainly it would be okay for the Ksav Sofer, assuming, again, the doctor said, we're not removing this cast for whatever, a certain number of days. You have to wear this cast for 6 weeks, and it's not coming off before 6 weeks. I'm sorry, nothing you can do about it. Right? So then we would say it's okay, because assuming that you could go in the water, so we have the Ksav Sofer, plus if you soak it, it might be okay, lekulei alma. Another tzad lahakel is that a lot of times with these cases, like where you have a cast, it's sakana sever. Some poskim say, just like the Rishonim were makel for sakana because of sakana nefashos makes it revise, so maybe even sakana sever makes it revise. And a broken arm, if you'd like decided to take your cast off, even if you could do it, you know, take a saw and saw it off, you'd probably be a sakana sever if you don't know what you're doing. So that is those are the tzadim hakel. So Willig thinks you could be makel b'shas adchak. Again, assuming you could put it in the water. In other words, not for the plaster cast. Assuming you could put it in the water, you could be makel. And again, he throws in that idea of sakanas aver and sakana because of infection and the like. Now, there's an interesting question if the following. Let's say you're going to follow the mekilim. We said many Mekilim, Rabbi Willig, the Tzitz Eliezer, Rabbi Avadia, Ksav Sofer. You follow the makel view. But now your cast is dirty. So that should be a problem. Because if you think that the pshat and the chatzitza, things that aren't chotzitz are batel to your guf. So now what's your new guf? The cast. So let's say your cast is dirty. So maybe now you're going to have chatzitzos. Right? So Rav Yashiv is machmir. Rav Yashiv is machmir. He says you have to clean the cast. Make sure the cast has no chatzitzos on it. Shlomo Zalman, quoted by the Shari Tevila, is mako. Says it's batel to your guf doesn't mean it becomes your guf. It's batel to your guf. And therefore it's okay even if it's dirty. Now, I didn't understand that. I thought batel your guf means it becomes your guf. Right? Shlomo Zalman seems to be saying you can have your cake and eat it. It becomes batel to your guf But, so theoretically, if you hold like Shlomo Zalman, you could wrap it up, I would think, right? You could take like saran wrap and put it on top of your cast. Whereas according to Shlomo Zalman, according to Rav Eliashiv, you couldn't, because your cast is batel to your guf, but not the saran wrap. So that's an interesting question. Yes, many poskim are machmir, especially in Eretz Yisrael. The Shevet Alevi is machmir and the like, against the Ksav Sofer. They say, you know, look, even the Ksav Sofer, the biggest Mekel, wasn't willing to be Mekel. So how could he be Mekel? Plus the Chachmas Adam and the like. So this is Lamaisa, a very big debate among the poskim. Yeah.
Well, we said soaking it might work. Is that before you go in for my mikvah, or just when you go in?
Well, I mean, the better thing would be to soak it in the mikvah, but if that wasn't possible, then even soaking it before the mikvah would probably be okay. That gets to our discussion of my mikvah, but...
Do you have the good side of the Mordechai because of, not necessarily revisely, but it's so tight on... Is that only a tzad on hair, or is that...
Yeah, no, that's only by hair. That wouldn't be relevant here. That's ratiyah. There's definitely a retiyah. Retiyah is chotetz. You just have to come... The question is, could you say the Ksav Sofer's explanation to explain why retiyah is chotetz?
So Ravise, do we have a precedent of Ravise by something that's not part of the
code? Well, that's a great question. So that, if you remember, the Pisrei Tshuva, when he discusses the Markolin case, discusses that exact question, right? Because sometimes they use this powder to make the hair stick together and the like. Do we say Ravise... anything that's sakana, even if it's external to the body. So the mekilim over here say, and this is, I think, many, many poskim are mekel in this case, that revise would apply to anything that's, right, just to, you know, look at the example of the gemara of revise. It's not part of the fetus. And it's surrounding the fetus. So you're right, it's natural, but still, it's not the fetus. It's not attached to the fetus. It's surrounding the fetus. Yes.
We're going back to stuff with the mekilim, the cast of shasav kach. So that I'm asking would not apply if it's only already like years amount of cast should come off.
Yeah, no. Then for sure we would be machmir because you don't necessarily have the zechon yosef. So if you know the cast is supposed to be removed, we're going to talk about this a little later in a slightly different context. But when we talk about temporary fillings, but yes, if the cast is supposed to be removed, you just didn't get around to making an appointment yet. So then we would say, make the appointment and go to the mikvah. What we're makel, the tzad to be makel, and the poskim that are makel in a case where, like the Ksav Sofer described, where the doctor said, under no circumstance can this cast be removed for a certain definitive period of time, and that you're now within that window of time. That's when we would be makel, if you're makel.
And do we have a sakim?
We're going to talk about that a little later. When we talk about temporary fillings, we're going to talk about that. That's actually one of the big questions of temporary fillings. Is the mitzias that Rav Moshe is assuming actually correct nowadays? Is that how they work? We'll get there. Yes?
So the question I heard you say also, does it oftentimes the cast covers a part of the body that's not actually the area that's used
to watch it? Right. So the point would be, And you're right, that could be an argument that this wouldn't work. The argument that it would be okay would be, if you remove this cast, you would be besakana sefer. In other words, as things stand now, the cast is on my arm. I can't, like, chip away at, like, a piece of the cast. So right now, as things stand, if I remove the cast, I might be besakana nefashos because of infection, or certainly I would be besakana sefer because my arm would break, or the like. So that would be sufficient because Lamaisa, as things stand, if this is removed, I am bisakana or I am bisakana sefer. So the fact that it's covering part of the body, you're right. You can't like make a cast on a very this specific area. Right now, Basher Husham, this thing removing this thing would cause sakana. So therefore, it's revise. Okay. Another very similar question to this is braces. Ay ay ay. Make sure you wear braces before you're married. But it doesn't always work out that way. So, Rav Moshe has a tshuva about braces. It's Yardei Chelek Aleph Simen Tzadi Vav, who's only willing to be mekel if, he writes, if they are l'chazek hashinayim shelo yiplu. But if it's rak liyapos osa, asura litval kolzman shemehudak. Cosmetic braces are a problem. But if you have them to prevent your teeth from falling out, it's okay. Now, in my experience, speaking to dentists and orthodontists, they'll never give you a straight answer about this. What's this purpose? Is it for cosmetic? Yes. But will it be a problem if I don't get it? Well, maybe your teeth will fall out. They'll start shifting, and who knows what. And so sometimes it's hard to get a real, honest answer. Like you said, they have a negios. Anyway, but at least in theory, Rav Moshe says, if it's cosmetic, it's a chatzitza. But if it's because of to prevent the teeth from falling out, I don't think that means immediately, right? If your teeth are going to fall out immediately, braces aren't going to help. But it means in the long term. And that's true. A lot of times, if you don't get braces, your teeth will start shifting all over the place. And that's why so many old people have false teeth, because they didn't have braces when they were young. So then it's okay. Now, what's his logic? What's his logic? If you were to follow the Ksav Sofer by bandages, I assume it would be okay. Right? Because this is like the bandage. Here, the dentist says, we're not removing... Obviously, any removable parts of the braces you'd have to remove. Right? So if you had rubber bands or other things, so then we're going to take those out. Then, for sure, those would need to be removed. But, the core parts of the braces, the things that are stuck to your teeth, that are glued on, that are basically there for the year and a half that you're wearing braces, right? And they're not going to be taken off for another year and a half. So, l'chora, if you follow the logic of the Ksav Sofer by bandages, it should be okay. Likewise, bepashtas, if you were to follow the Zichron Yosef, it should also be okay, because l'maisa, again, let's say the dentist says, these have to be in for a long period of time, and it's a defined period of time. For sure you're not taking these braces off for another 6 months. So l'chora, it should be okay. So why is Rav Moshe machmir? Rav Moshe, we'll see later, is actually very into the Zichron Yosef. Rav Moshe's machmir because he thinks the Zichron Yosef doesn't apply to refuah. Why not? The Zichron Yosef is talking about something like a ring, but not refuah. Why? Because going back to that svara that we said from the Rush and the Chachmas Adam, which is you really don't want this here now, right? In other words, if you accept the logic of the Chachmas Adam, which we said might be the logic of the Rush, so just like I don't want the bandage here, right? I don't want the chetz here, and that's why they are chatzitzos. So too, I don't want the braces here. Now, I want them here because if I don't put them here, then my teeth will be crooked my whole life. I'd rather suffer for a year and a half of braces and then have nice straight teeth for my whole life. But now, would I rather they disappear? Sure. So therefore, since it's refuah, it should be aser. And therefore, certainly cosmetic is usher. So then, why is he willing to be makel if they are to prevent your teeth from falling out? So he says, well, over here we have sort of a double derabanan. First of all, Moshe thinks really beis hastarim is derabanan, like the Ritva and the Rashba and the like, we'll see later. And second of all, he thinks that that it's... what's his second svara? Oh, because it's right, it's miut. And therefore, since it's sakanas aver, it's revisei, and he's willing to be makel. He's willing to treat the teeth as sakanas aver, like he said, because if you don't put the braces on, your teeth might fall out. So, plus it's a double derabanan, because anyway it's miut, and anyway it's beis astarim. So he's willing to be makel, but that's assuming that they're for refuah, not for cosmetic. Other poskim are makel. Minchas Yitzchak is makel, according to who else did I find? The Shevet HaLevi is makel. Shevet HaLevi is Chelek Bei Simen Tzadi Ches, the Minchas Yitzchak is Chelek Vav Simen Pei Vav, and they're Mako, because L'maisa, I am not going to take them out for a long period of time. And therefore, since it's for refuah, and he doesn't distinguish between cosmetic and teeth falling out, L'maisa, it's refuah. So therefore, you could be Mako. Therefore, you could be Mekel, he says.
Refuah l'kula, meaning not like Ramosha.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, the Minchas Yitzchak throws in three reasons to be Mekel. He says, and the same thing for cast, if it's going to be there for more than 30 days. Number one, you have the Ksav Sofer. Number two, the Zichron Yosef. And number three says anything that's going to be attached to the body for more than 30 days becomes batal to the guf. This is a bit of a chiddush, but he brings a raya from the sugya in Shabbos that 30 is considered permanent, like for kosher and other melachos. So it becomes permanently part of your body if it's going to be here for more than 30 days. It's another svar to be batal to the guf, and therefore he's meiko. Yes? Yeah. You're saying it's a stira.
Yeah.
I don't know why the Shevetim Levi. I don't know why the Shevetim Levi is makel for braces.
Teeth, you could have no teeth.
But he is. Yeah. I don't know if he's throwing in the svaras of Avesa Starm being more kal or the like. But those are the svaras of the Minchas Yitzchak. Those three svaras. Yeah.
Where was the
Shevetim Levi?
Shevetim Levi
is. Beis Tzadiches I have written here. Beis Tzadiches. And in terms of the where he's machmir by casts, it's in Sif Yud in the Shirei Shevet Alevi.
If the braces are cosmetic, then couldn't you compare them to a couple that's
renowned? No, because you don't. I mean, if you put on braces because you thought you looked nicer in braces, then you're right. That would be okay. But when we say cosmetic braces, it doesn't mean that you like the look with braces. It means that you, in a year and a half from now, you're going to look better, so you're willing to suffer with braces for a year and a half so you look better for the rest of your life.
So no, it only applies to things that actually mean...
Right, the kulas of noi, we're going to get to them, I guess probably not today, but next time. The kulas of noi mean it's like makeup. Things like that, things that I want, hair dye, or that might be Embo Mamish, but whatever it is, things that are making me look beautiful. So that's the opposite of Eino Makbid. Right, wrote to Leo Shem, so that's okay. So if like you know, you have like somebody who like is jealous that everybody else has braces and they want braces themselves, then okay, then maybe we could be talk about Nai. But that's not the typical case. Yeah, Robbie.
Things like Invisalign, let's say, they put in small cement pieces to move your teeth slowly. So the horror, nobody can see that you're just saying not mocked, right? Just
if they're invisible, then there's definitely much more reason to be mako.
Right.
Yeah.
And then what about bridges that people...
What?
Not permanent.
I'm sorry?
Bridges after they're finished with...
Oh, that would for sure. Anything, we're mako for permanent.
If it's there forever, everybody's going to be mako.
Yeah, more or less. We're going to talk about Rav Moshe's tshuva by fillings, but anything that's permanent, we would be mako about. Yes.
What's considered able to be taken out? Meaning there's parts of the braces that you can have the dentist take out. Not meaning you can take out the whole thing, but there are things that they don't have to like do a whole procedure with. Like you can take out the entire wire, they can take out all the... I'm saying...
And those are things that are frequently removed? Or they're
when I had braces, my wire came out.
It wasn't
supposed to happen, but
yeah, so I think
they
that's,
can take it out. Nah, pretty easily, they just take whatever.
Right, no, I don't think. If it's meant to stay in for the duration of the braces, then you wouldn't have to take it out.
And the bands also. They change the bands because it gets tighter, but the bands are not supposed to come off. But they are supposed to become, they come off, you know, whatever you
I don't know. You have to find out, speak to an orthodontist. But
I'm saying the halach, what's the, is it 30 days? Is that the,
so
if they're there for 30 days, that's considered...
We're going to talk about the shear shortly. That's what I said when we get to the tshuva. I want to do the tshuva together with you from Rav Moshe and the temporary fillings. Okay. Sif Yud Aleph. I guess this will have to be the last one. We're going to do this. There's a lot here, but we'll do it quickly. A mikveh lady recently called the wife of a friend of mine with the following question. A woman shows up to the mikveh. She has a splinter. She can't get it out. It's visible, but below the skin. Now, she's makbid about it in the sense that she has an appointment in 2 weeks from now with a doctor to remove it. Can she go to the mikveh tonight? She shows up at the mikveh. What do you say? No? Below the skin.
So how long is she soaking it for?
She can't get it out. It's soaked. She tried everything. It's not working. You need a doctor to get it out. Doctor's going to, I don't know what the doctors do, probably like cut the skin and take it out to remove it. What? Oh, right. So good. So the Mishnah sounds like from the Mishnah would be a problem, right? The Mishnah says, Chetz shutachav ba'adam bizman shu nira chotitz v'meinu nira tolo v'ochol chumaso. So what does nira mean? So if you define nira literally, like it's visible, so then this lady's in bad luck, right? Because it was visible. She could actually see it. However, the Rush writes, at least it's understood by the Beis Yosef, that shavel abaser means nira and is a chatzitza. But if it's mishuka bebasar, that's called eno nira, even if technically speaking it is visible to the eye. And the Beis Yosef says this pshat makes sense. The Levush says this pshat, the Shach says the pshat as well. There is the opinion of the Ri in the Sefer Truma, the Smag, and the Mordechai, who say that if it's visible, even if it's shakua harbe, it's kari nira, and it's a chatzitza. So if you paskin like that view in the Rishonim, she's in big trouble. So how do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, chetz, coats, hatachav bebasar, im nira mi bachotz chotetz, v'meinu nira enu chotetz. And the Shach writes that we could be makel on the shayla. If it's shavah lebasar, it's considered nira, but it's meshuka, it's eno nira. So in this case, it was meshuka. So I think she could be makel. I think she could be makel. The Taz writes, im eno nira, he quotes the Tor, v'im yesh alav krum shel basar, b'chol inyan eno chotzitz. Could be that this woman also had a krum shel basar on top. I don't know. So that would be even more kal. What I wanted to get into, but I guess we're not going to, is the Havana of the Tosefta and the Machlokas Rishonim about that, and the Shach and the Darki Moshe, but we'll leave that now. Because what I do want to talk about is the very common question of stitches. Stitches. So Lechora, so there are two types of stitches. There are the standard old-fashioned stitches. They're usually like black. They're very noticeable. It's basically thread. And then there's dissolvable stitches. Those are usually clear. And after a certain amount of time, they dissolve and disappear. You don't actually have to move them. So let's talk about regular stitches first. L'chora, if you were to hold of the Zichron Yosef and Rav Moshe, you should be able to be makel, because there's a specific time when they're supposed to be removed, right? Come back to the doctor. Doctor says, make an appointment 2 weeks from now. Come back in 2 weeks. I'll remove the stitches. Leave them in until now. If you remove them now, the skin would separate and you're in trouble. So l'chora should be okay, right? Should be similar to Rav Moshe's kula by temporary fillings. Should be fine. The problem is a tshuva in Rav Moshe, Chelak Beisim and Pezayin, where he's machmir. Ay, ay, ay. Why is he machmir if he's makel by the temporary fillings? I'm sorry we keep on like going back to tshuvos we haven't seen. I couldn't think of an order that we would see everything in order. But anyway, so two possibilities. One is he's not willing to be makel on the Zichron Yosef alone, even though he really likes the Zichron Yosef. By the temporary fillings, he has actually three svaros lahakel. And one of them is that after the temporary filling is removed, it will be replaced by a permanent filling. So this part of the body will be covered up forever, will never, ever again be exposed. And he's not willing to rely on the Zichron Yosef on its own. He wants that sad as well. That's not going to be true over here, because when you remove the stitches, the area of the body that the stitches are covering will once again be exposed. Now, on the one hand, it does sound like he really does like his first pshat, the first pshat to be makel by the temporary fillings, the Zichron Yosef type svara. At the same time, I saw in Chelak Beis, Simen Peches, he doesn't want to be makel based off of the Zichron Yosef alone. And that being the case, that might be the pshat as to why he's machmir for stitches, even though he's makel for the temporary fillings. The second possible explanation as to why stitches might be worse, it's too bad Donny Zuckerman isn't here today, is Donny's Svara, which is the following. The lashon over there is v'imu nireh mistaber shenachshav makpedesh shel yisharu sham hatfiros v'chotzeitz. It could be that he's only machmir by stitches in the case where they're no longer necessary. I wasn't sure how to read that line. It says shenachshav makpedesh shel yisharu sham hatfiros. So I thought that meant that the tefiros won't be there forever. In other words, you're going to want to remove them in a week from now. But Donnie thought it might mean she wants to remove them now, in which case, in other words, the stitches are already ready to be removed, in which case, if he's only machmir in that case, then there's obviously no stira. Lemaiser Rewillig is makel for stitches that are not going to be removed for 5 days. Take a look. The Badi Shulchan is marich about this, especially in the back of the Sefer in the Miluim. He tries to argue, even according to Zichron Yosef, you can't be makel if they're no longer functioning. In other words, the only tzad to be makel is if they're still needed, they're still active. I don't remember. I don't know why he comes up with 5 days. He had a cheshbon. You have to ask him. Maybe you remember. The Shevet Alevi is again machmir. He thinks it's like chetz hatachof. If the doctor's going to remove it, you have to be machmir. What about self-dissolving stitches? Rabbi Willig says here it's pashut, they're not chotzeitz. Why? Based off of the idea that we've seen that. What does chatzitza mean? You're going to be makbid lasiro. Davnei Nezer makes this point as well. Since lemaisa, you're not makbid lasiro. You're never going to take these off. They're not chotzeitz. Shlomo Zalman Arbach, in a tshuva at the end of Sefer Mar Kohen, also says dissolving stitches are not chotzeitz. Even if right now, she notices them and in theory wishes they weren't going to be here. As long as they're going to come off on their own. So they're batel to the guf. But Rav Vosner is machmir. Rav Elyashiv is machmir. The Badei HaShulchan quotes a Ramban on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph that anything that's on the guf that's not actively removed but falls off on its own is considered davar she'eino makbid. So he wants to bring that as another tzad l'hakel, this Ramban. It's not so clear it's a good raya because the Ramban brings that svara in an opinion that we don't paskin like. But he might still think it's true. He just uses that svara in explaining an opinion that we don't paskin like. But as I said, there's definitely more room to be makel for self-dissolving stitches because you're never makbid la zero. And even with stitches that have to be removed, if they are still actively functioning and removing them would cause the wound to open up, then based off of the Zichron Yosef / Rav Moshe, there's room to be makel, even though, like we said, Rav Moshe himself might not be makel, not clear entirely why Rav Moshe is machmir. Okay, so we'll stop here, and Be'ezras Hashem will pick up with Sif Yud Beis next time. Okay, it looks like the recorder worked.